My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Zayin. After finishing the discussion of the families of Levi and their cities, Perek Zayin covers the genealogies of the other Shvatim. We start with Shevet Yisachar. Why is Yisachar mentioned first in this set? Das Sofrim says that Shevet Yisachar, like Shevet Levi, was dedicated to learning and teaching Torah. In Perek Yud Beis of Divrei Hayamim, Yisachar is described as Yodei Vina Le'itim. They had an understanding of the times, meaning they knew how to calculate the timing of Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, and the establishment of leap years. As Torah scholars, it makes sense that they'd be presented directly after Shevet Levi. There's also somewhat of a geographical logic to the order in which the Shvatim are presented. If you look at a map of where each Shevet was settled in Israel, Yehuda and Shimon, whose genealogies were presented first, are south of Yerushalayim. If you then draw a circle counterclockwise around Yerushalayim, the Shvatim on the eastern side of the Jordan, Reuven, Shimon, and half of Manasseh, are next. Moving to the north, we have Yisachar, Naphtali, Asher, and the other half of Manasseh. These are the Shvatim that are presented here in this parak. Finally, continuing the circle back to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is situated in Binyamin's territory, and Binyamin is then dealt with in the next parak, Parak Ches. As you may have noticed when reading this parak, the genealogies are quite complicated. Here's an example. In the middle of the listing of Yisachar's descendants, Pasuk Vav begins, Binyamin, Belav Abechar, V'Yediel Shlosha. Who is this Binyamin in the middle of Yisachar's descendants? Logically, he'd be a descendant of Yisachar who happens to be called Binyamin. However, Rashi says that Binyamin actually refers to Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, since Bela and Becher, two of the sons of Binyamin mentioned here, are the first two of Binyamin's 10 sons listed at the end of Sefer Bereishis. From Sefer Bereishis, Ubnei Binyamin, Bela v'Becher v'Ashbel, Gera v'Naman, Echi v'Rosh, Mutmin v'Chorpin v'Ord. Radak says this is a different Binyamin. Because Yaakov's Binyamin had 10 sons, not 3, additionally, the third son of Binyamin is listed in Bereishis as Ashbel, and the third son of Binyamin is listed in Divrei Hayamim as Yediel. Rashi says they're the same person, and that third son is sometimes called by one name and sometimes another. But it is indeed curious that part of Binyamin's genealogy is inserted into Yisachar's. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we get to Naphtali's lineage, which spans a total of a single Pasuk. This is a case in which Ezra didn't have information about one of the 10 tribes who were exiled earlier, and therefore he simply recorded what he knew from the Chumash. In this case, only Naphtali's immediate descendants are recorded. Moving on to Shevet Dan, Shevet Dan seems to be skipped altogether. There is no explicit mention of Shevet Dan in the parak. But is he actually skipped? Let's go back to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis says, V'shupim v'chupim b'nei ir, chushim b'nei acher. Shupim and chupim were the sons of ir, and chushim the son of acher. Who is chushim? The commentary associated with a student of Sajigon says that Chushim is actually the sole son of Dan, the son of Yaakov. Dan, the son of Yaakov, had one son named Chushim. Why is he called Chushim b'nei Acher, Chushim the son of Acher, if he's actually the son of Dan? Dan is called Acher, meaning back, because in the travels of B'nai Yisrael in the desert, Dan was positioned in the back of the other Shvatim. In the bracha of Yaakov to Dan, he says Dan is like a snake in battle who bites the horse's heels so that the rider is thrown backward. Vayipol rachvo achar. The rider falls backwards. This again shows an association between the word achar and Shevet Dan. But why would Dan be mentioned cryptically? And why emphasize the idea of achar, a back, which has a negative connotation? Of all the Shvatim, Dan is the one that is most associated with idol worship, an ongoing challenge before the destruction of the first temple. The story of Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha that we read about towards the end of Sefer Shoftim, Judges, took place in the territory of Dan. Later on in Malachim, Yeravam, the first king of the northern kingdom, sets up golden calves in the areas of Beit El and in Dan, and instructs the people to worship there instead of traveling to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Support for the position that Dan is indeed alluded to is found in Pasuk Yud Gimel, which refers to Bnei Bilha, the sons of Bilha. Even though only one son of Bilha, Naphtali, is actually mentioned. If Dan is also alluded to in the parak, that would account for the plural Bnei Bilha, sons of Bilha. Psukim Yudalad through Yates continue with the genealogy of Shevet Menashe. A notable descendant of Menashe is Tzlafchad, mentioned in Pasuk Tezvav. Tzlafchad was a direct descendant of Menashe through the line Menashe, Machir, Gilad, Chefer, Tzlafchad. Menashe also had an important granddaughter, described in Pasuk Yudches as Gilad's sister. Vachoso Hamoleches, his sister Moleches, her name was either Moleches, or Moleches is from the word Melech, a king, which would mean his reigning sister, because she ruled over some of the territory of Menashe that she received as dowry from her father. Pasuk Chaf begins the genealogy of Ephraim. After listing the sons of Ephraim, the Pasuk tells a story. V'zavad b'no, v'shuselach b'no, v'ezer v'elad, v'haragam anshe gas, hanoladim ba'aretz, kiradula kachas es mekneihem. The Pasuk lists a group of sons of Ephraim and then says the people of Gas killed them, those that were born in the land, because they attempted to take their cattle. The Pasuk continues, Vayisabel Ephraim avihem yamim rabim, vayavo achav lenachamo. And their father Ephraim mourned over them for many days, and his brothers came to comfort him. When did this story regarding Ephraim's sons happen? It sounds like it happened in Israel, since it speaks of the people of Gaz who were born in the land, and we know that there were Philistines living in the land who caused trouble throughout Tanakh. The problem with this explanation is that Ephraim and his sons did not enter Israel. As a consequence of the sin of the spies, there was a decree that anyone who was above age 20 at that point in time, with the exception of Caleb and Yoshua, would die in the desert and not enter the land. So even if Ephraim and his sons were alive when the sin of the spies occurred, and note this would have made Ephraim very old because he had descended to Egypt over 210 years earlier, they would have died along with everyone else before entering the land. Therefore, other commentators assume that this story happened in Egypt. Rabag explains that there was a colony of Philistines who had been born in Egypt, were born in the land, therefore refers to Egypt, and some of Ephraim's sons raided this Philistine colony for cattle and were killed in the process. This would explain why in Bamidbar, only three of Ephraim's sons are listed, while here there are nine. Das Zofer raises yet another possibility, that the events did take place in Israel, but that the Pesukim do not refer to Ephraim, the son of Yaakov, but rather a later descendant by the same name. The fact that the three sons of Ephraim, the son of Yaakov, that are listed in Bamidbar, are very close to the three sons listed for Ephraim here would work against this idea. Then again, families repeat names. The Medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar tells a story that is hinted to in this Pesukim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kolo san hashanim sheyashvu Yisrael b'mitzrayim yashvu betach v'shanan v'shalev. The Medrash begins, all the years that Bnei Yisrael were in Egypt, they lived securely, calmly, and at ease. Why is the Medrash saying they lived calmly and at ease? Weren't they enslaved and oppressed? They were at ease in the sense that they accepted their situation as an ongoing reality and were not agitating for change. Until, the Medrash tells us, Ad sheba yagnon mibnei banav shel Ephraim, v'amar lahem niglali HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehotzi eschem mimitzrayim. Until someone named Yagnon, a grandson of Ephraim, came along and said, Hashem revealed himself to me in order to lead you out of Egypt. B'nai Ephraim begeis libam, shehei mezer malchus, v'gibur yakorach b'malchama, lakhu es nishehem v'espinehem v'yatsu mimitzrayim. The sons of Ephraim, in their arrogance, believed him, because they were descended from royalty. We've learned that the family of Yosef is associated with royalty. Yeravam and many of the northern kings were from Ephraim, the son of Yosef. Yosef himself had been a ruler in Egypt, and Mashiach ben Yosef, a Messiah descended from Yosef, will precede the arrival of Mashiach, the son of David. Ephraim's knowledge of their stature, of their kingship kinds of stature, caused them to reject their enslaved reality and to mistakenly follow this false Messiah called Yagnon. They took their children, they took their wives, and they left Mitzrayim. V'radfu ha-Mitzrayim acharehim v'hargu mehem masayim elef kulam giborim. The Egyptians ran after them and killed 200,000 of them, as it says in Tehillim, Ayin Ches, B'nei Ephraim nushke rome kashas hafchu biyom krav. The children of Ephraim were like archers that turned back on the day of battle. Rashi on Tehillim Ayin Ches, quoting our pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, says that this pasuk in Tehillim refers to the sons of Ephraim, sheyatsu mimitzrayim bizroa lifnei haketz, the sons of Ephraim who left Egypt before the deadline. Ubadchu begvorasam ubechitzehem, they were confident in their strength and in their arrows. V'sofam hafchu lanos biyom krav, and at the end they turned around defeated. Kedemu farash b'divrei Hayamim, like it says in Divrei Hayamim in our perek, v'haragom anshei gas hanolodim ba'aretz. Notably, Rashi says that the slaughter was in the hands of the Philistines, who lived in the land, consistent with our pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says v'haragom anshei gas. While in the Medrash it says that it was the Egyptians that ran after them and killed them. Also note that the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says that the argument was over cattle, which isn't consistent with the story in the Medrash. I leave this as a tzorach ian, something that needs to be looked into. The pasuk tells us that Ephraim mourned for many days. After this event, Ephraim gave birth to a son, which he called Beria, from the word ra, for bad, since misfortune had fallen on his home. Ephraim's lineage continues through Yehoshua and stops there. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that Yehoshua died without any sons. However, a daughter of Yehoshua, from his marriage to Rachav from Jericho, from Yericho, Yehoshua married Rachav, and they had a daughter who was the ancestor of the famous Navi Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. The last section of the Perek deals with the genealogy of Asher. The pasuk tells us that all those listed under Asher were Brurim Giburei Chayalim, elite warriors, and that their genealogy was drawn from military records. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Ayin Vav, learns, based on this description of David HaMelech's army, Berurim, Giborei Chayalim, elite warriors, that the members of David HaMelech's family were all of pure lineage, the idea of Berurim meaning pure. Kidei Shetiyez Chusan Uschus Avusan Mesayatan, so that their own merits and the merits of their fathers would help them in battle. Thus we conclude this complex chapter of genealogy with a note on the importance of where we come from. The merits of our ancestors, whether it be our parents, our grandparents, someone further back, or Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is real and impactful. This shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.